You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com. Milt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Well, I'm great. Now, I know when it wasn't around when you played social media, but I'm not sure if you saw it today, but Bo Levi Mitchell got fined for their social media policy because of this. This is what he tweeted out. That's a bad, bad call. Where else can the DB hit him? How else can he hit him? Saskatchewan versus Hamilton. So he commented on a play that wasn't even involving his team. So it's not like he's like, oh, I'm bitter. It just says, hey, I think it's a bad call. Do you think that's what the league should be focusing on, is worrying that they're fining guys for expressing their opinion?
I mean, I understand why they draw a line and they say there's rules. You can't tweet out certain things. You can't talk bad about a fish. I understand that. But that right there, you know, they're focusing on that. I don't understand. You know, I think if social media was around when I played, I don't know if I'd have got fined or not. You know, I know how to twist things around where I'm talking about someone, but it sounds like I'm praising them. So, but to fine someone for saying that, that's very unfortunate. You know, I know they draw a line and they set the rules and the players are supposed to follow rules. You know, that's the way of life. But that right there, you know, that's very unfortunate, especially someone like Bo. Bo is great for the league. You know, he's going to say what he means. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's very boisterous. He's very active on Twitter. So it's unfortunate that those things have to happen. But I just don't understand why he's being fined for just saying that.
Interesting situation last weekend with Whale Hill, the Ticats, getting involved with one of the referees. Your thoughts on what ended up being a one-game suspension?
Well, I mean, I guess they had to look back on, you know, what Ken Austin did last year. You know, he basically, I won't say it was the same thing, but he hit an official. He struck an official, and he got a one-game suspension. Actually, his game, it wasn't a total one-game suspension. He was allowed to be in the booth. So, I mean, I guess that's where the precedence was set. You know, if you start anew now and say, okay, we're going to start something new now, we're going to give him a 2-3-game suspension, you know, it's unfortunate that it had to happen that way. Some people thought it should have been more, maybe 2-3 games. I don't know. Some people even said he should be done for the year. But you saw what Ken Austin did last year, so I guess they said that was a precedent that was set last year and we have to follow it.
Yeah, I just look at the actions very differently from what Austin did to even the player. And everybody was talked about, we had Ed Hervey on the show, and he said, hey, everybody knows from day one as a kid, you don't touch the officials like that. Like, we've seen players bump inadvertently to guys and everything like that, but, you know, you go to hit a guy, and the next thing you know, yeah, the referee's there, and the player crushes him. But to grab him basically by the scruff of his collar, to me, it's not a good look on the league, because it doesn't do anything to deter other players from doing it in the future.
No, it's a very bad look. It's very bad, and I actually thought he should have got more games, but like I alluded to before, you know, you have to go back to last year. But maybe they should have said, okay, I'm a new commissioner. It's my first day on the job. I'm not thinking about the past. We're about to start something new right now. He would have got some backlash, of course, from the PA. They probably would have tried to overrule it or whatever, but you have to come in and say there's a new sheriff in town. We're going to do things differently this year. I thought he actually was going to do that, and the PA was going to appeal it. I was thinking, like I say, at least 2 or 3 games, but he decided to go with one game, and that's where we are right now. So hopefully it does deter players, because as a player, as a fan or whoever, when you see a player do that, that makes the league look really second class, really shallow. So hopefully that doesn't happen again, because that's just not good for anyone involved.
Yeah, I love the way you bring it up about the players, because I quite frankly, I mean, it's a product, right? The players are selling a product that helps drive everything for the league. And when you're watching, you see that type of thing happen. I do think it kind of is a bit of black eye. We saw it happen in hockey before. We've seen it happen everywhere. But, you know, would it make sense for the players to say, listen, you know, CFLPA, we want to have a harder line on this. If this happens, it might only be one case every 3 or 4 years, but we want a hard line to sand drawn that is clear to our guys. And instead of maybe always going, and I understand what the PA does. I get it. But do they not also have to push it to protect all the other players and the brand they're trying to create within the CFL?
Without a doubt. Like you say, draw a line. You say, okay, if you strike an official, accidentally, whatever it may be, this is going to be, you know, your suspension. This is going to be your fine. This is going to be your punishment. So you know going in that I'm not going to attempt to do that because you know what the ramifications are. You know what the consequences are. But now it's just, okay, we're going to look at each case, you know, case to case to case. We're going to decide individually what's going to happen instead of having that hard set line that this is going to happen if you touch an official. Because as a kid, as a young player, you see that and say, well, okay, I can handle those consequences, one game or whatever. And it just doesn't set a good example for the young kids, for the high school kids, for the college kids, or just for the fans or whoever in general who's watching. It just doesn't set a good example.
No, not at all. Milt Stegall joins us. Milt, the Toronto Argonauts, it's very early on in the season, but Ricky Ray averaging 400 passing yards a game. And, man, Tressman, I don't know if he's a quarterback whisperer. Obviously, Ricky Ray's been a great QB in his career. Third fastest to 300 passing yards, 300 passing touchdowns in his career. But what have you seen that Tressman's brought to Toronto offensively?
Well, just not offensively. He brings professionalism to that team. And people don't realize how those little things make a difference. Like, you look at those guys when they have their profile, those, and I'm not saying this is why they're winning, but it makes a difference. They have on suit and ties. All the guys who don't play in the game, and we noticed this when we were at BMO, before the game, all of those guys, they come out and they get like a hard-nosed workout. They're out there running, they're out there sweating, they're out there pouting. All the guys on the sideline seem to be professional, and that makes a big difference when you want to win as a team. Of course, having Ricky Ray and Tressman together makes a big difference. And in this league, if you're not having a good quarterback, you're not going to win. But everyone is buying into what he's selling. You know, every now and then you have some eggheads who make some bad penalties on the field. But for the most part, that team is disciplined. They're professional. There's no one who's getting in trouble, no one who's out of the way. And that makes a difference when you're trying to win games. I think it's more so than that, than just him and Ricky Ray gelling together. As a team, those guys are playing together and they're buying into what Mark Tressman is selling.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the Hamilton Kyrcats who look in disarray. And you talk about professionalism or lack thereof. There's a team that's, you know, made a lot of bad plays on the field. They look completely disheveled. They don't have any discipline. Zach Caleros only has 400 passing yards so far this season. What do you make of Hamilton, and do you think that's an area that looks like that's an organization that, you know, needs a significant change?
Did you call them the Tiger Cats or the Tigger Cats? the way they're playing, they're the Tigger Cats. Well, the product on the field is just not good. Let's be honest about it. You know, the strong point of their defense was supposed to be their halfback. They're not there. They're getting torched. Their offensive line is struggling. They lost Fantuz last year. Then they lost their top guy, Terrence Tolliver, this year. You know, this is where the GM and the personnel department, they have to kick in because they have to get some better players. So what they have on the field right now, it's not going to work. In that first game, you saw how frustrated Zach was. He came up the sideline, you know, berating, I can't get anything done. They can't effing block for me. You saw the frustration in his face and in his words. So they have to get a different product on the field. I mean, based on those first two games, they don't have enough arsenal. They don't have the product on the field to win many games. So they have to make some changes. And I may be wrong. Things may change starting with this weekend. But based on those first two games, they don't have enough product. They don't have good enough product on the field to have close to five or six victories this year. So they need to make some changes with the personnel they put on the field.
Sticking in the East, talk with Ottawa Red Blacks. I mean, they've given up a lot of points. They've got 100 points against in three games. Does this fall on the shoulders of the defensive coordinator, Mark Nelson?
Well, I mean, you think about last year. That team was 8-9-1. So it's not like they were powering through anyone last year. They just happened to go on the run at the right time in the playoffs and had a great, great cup game. So it's not like they were a powerhouse last year. But it has to go on the scheme. It has to somewhat go on the players, too. Coaches don't step on the field. So they're going to make some changes there. They release A.J. Jefferson. I don't know exactly why they're saying they wanted to go younger. He's not that old. So they're going to start making changes. That happens when you lose games. So it's just a combination. You can't put it all on the players, and you can't put it all on the coaches. It's a combination of everyone involved, the head coach down to the water boy. They have to find a way to get it together. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult for them to win games. You know, offensively, they've been doing things. They have been consistent, but they've been playing well enough offensively where they should have some victories. But defensively, it just hadn't been there. They have to get that corrected if they want to get back to the place they were last year, and that's the Grey Cup.
And, Mill, before I let you go, of course, you haven't played for a while. I have never asked you this question. But right now in the league, because you're not an active player, who do you say is the best-looking man in the CFL?
Oh.
I'm still the best. I'm still the best-looking man, even though I'm not black. I seriously can't believe you asked me that question, regardless.
Well, you're not a player, though.
Before I got to the CFL, I was still the best-looking man in the CFL. So it really doesn't matter. I can't believe you asked me. I'm kind of insulted.
Well, let's be honest. What do you grade yourself on a scale of, like, 1 to 10? Are you, like, probably a hard 8.5?
Hard 8.5?
Yeah.
I'm like a maybe 16, 17. It all depends on the lighting in the room. And before I leave you guys, I'm going to wire you some money. I heard about the 50-50 there, so hey, I could use that money because my two kids, Bill and Bill, that's what they are. They're costing me a lot of money. So I'm going to wire you guys some money to help me out.
Well, you wire us the 20. We'll put it in.
We'll split it with you if we win.
There it is. It'll be coming soon.
All right. Thanks, Milt. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.